you, Jesus. I'm glad to say the screen from my side doesn't get in the way. So, here we go. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was reading Word for Today, and I was doing some extra studying. And I was reading about David in Ziklag, and it just fired me up. It doesn't take a lot, but I was fired. And I thought, wow, this will preach. And so I sort of started to, it didn't take many minutes, it only took about half an hour, and I'd written lots of notes and lots of stuff, and I thought, well, I'll put that away for when it's my turn. So Daniel said to me on Monday, are you ready for Sunday? So I said, well, yeah, let's do it. Amen. So this is over to God and His Spirit is what He wants to bring out of it. Where was Ziklag? Ziklag was not in Israel. It was in the land of the Philistines, who were arch enemies of Israel. What was David doing there? He had been anointed king of Israel, and here he was in the land of the enemy. What was he doing there? Well, a bit of background here is, as you probably know, but for those who don't know the story, David wasn't, he'd been anointed king, but he wasn't actually on the throne. His predecessor, King Saul, was on the throne. But Saul had become twisted, and he'd been leaning towards the occult, and he was no longer following God's ways. He wasn't listening to God. He was doing his own thing and getting himself deeper and deeper and deeper into trouble. Ever been there? Yeah. And God had to give him a wake-up call. But the background here is that David was in... Saul was pursuing David. He was determined to kill him. But you know, when God's anointed you to a position, no demon in hell can kill you off. When God says you're going to do something, you're going to do it. And whatever it takes, God will put roadblocks and He'll do all sorts to get you on the right road. And I'm glad He does that. I look back and I say, thank you, Jesus. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Your grace and Your mercy and Your faithfulness and Your perseverance with us children who can be quite wayward at times. And so, yes, David was trying to shake Saul off. He was hiding in caves. David and his 600 men were hiding in caves in Israel, and Saul would come across his path, and twice David had the opportunity to kill Saul. But you know, he was a man of honour, and he said, no, this is not for me to do. Saul is God's anointed, and I dare not lay my hand on God's anointed, even though I know that I am His successor. It will be God's timing, not mine. You need to wait for God's timing. Don't take it into your own hands. Wait for God. He has a plan. So David decided, he didn't ask God. He decided that he was going to go to the land of the Philistines, where Saul would no longer pursue him. He was tired of being hunted. David was a hunter. He was not used to being hunted, and he hated it, and he'd had it for too long, and he said, I'm sick of this. I'm going to the land of the Philistines, where I know I shall get rid of Saul once and for all. He won't pursue me into the land of the enemy. And this is what I find quite amazing. The land of the Philistines, actually, their descendants today are the Palestinians. Oh, nothing's changed, has it? We're still arch enemies. But in those times, there were the Philistines. And he went to King Achish in Gath. Now, where did Goliath come from? Gath. And what did David do? By the power of God, he toppled Goliath, who was taunting Israel. And God used David to bring Goliath down. And yet Achish knew all of this. But I don't know what God did, but He gave David favour with Achish. And he really took to him and welcomed him into the land. Well, David didn't want to stay in the capital. There was too much idol worship and things that he was not prepared to do. And so he asked King Achish if he could have a land in the country, an area in the country, where he could settle with his 600 men. And so that's how he came about to inherit Ziklag. And that's where he went. Ziklag was on the borders, not far from Israel. There were many enemies of Israel in that area. And during the time he was in Ziklag, he and his 600 men would go out in raiding parties, and they would wipe out whole areas of the Philistines, the Amalekites, all the enemies of Israel. He really did them damage, and he never left one man alive to tell the tale. And interestingly enough, Achish never got to hear about it. Now, was that a miracle? You know, David had gone off and done his own thing, but God had never left him. He's a God of faithfulness. He will never leave you. He will pursue you. And he loves you passionately. David's gone out on me. I'm missing your amen. Praise God. And you know, we can see so many times how David was put in a difficult situation. The next difficult situation was that King Achish appointed David as his bodyguard. And the Philistines were going to war with Israel. And this put David in a predicament. He had to go and fight Israel. Uh-oh, what was he going to do? But you know, God intervened. And the Philistine warlords said to King Achish, "You're not taking him. He'll turn traitor. He'll not fight against Israel. He'll fight for them. We're not taking him." And so King Achish had no choice. The warlords said no. And so God delivered him again. And that's where we come into 1 Samuel chapter 30, where David was found to be walking back to his camp in Ziklag. I just love this. You know, God had chosen David. He had anointed him as king. And nothing David did was going to change that. Praise God. God didn't change his mind. And I want to assure you today that God's gifting and God's callings are without repentance. He does not change his mind. He's not fickle. God is faithful. And it's not about our performance. It's about his faithfulness. Amen. And I love him. I just love him and adore him. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm starting in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it says in the message, 3 days later, David and his men arrived in Ziklag, only to find that Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They tore Ziklag to pieces and then they burned it down. They captured all the women, young and old. They didn't kill anyone, but they drove them like a herd of cattle. By the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground, and their wives, sons and daughters were all taken prisoner. He came home to a devastated camp, and his family and all his possessions and all his animals were gone completely. The Amalekites had burned the whole city to the ground. There was nothing left of it. And he and his men had lost their families. They'd lost their wives. They'd lost their sons and their daughters. They were devastated. And for days they wept. You know, the devil comes only to kill, steal and destroy. All he wants to do, that's his whole agenda against every child of God. So it's no surprise that you have a fight on your hands sometimes. He puts things against you and you think, "This is too big for me." Well, it is too big for you, but it's not too big for God. So just hand it over to God and let God do the fighting. Let God put the devil out of the picture, because you're not big enough to. But God is. You know, the devil, when we're out doing stuff for God, the devil, if he can't get you, will go for your family. He's no gentleman. He doesn't care who he picks on. He will go for whichever target hurts you. And this is what had happened here. But you know, I was thinking when I was preparing this the other week of Nehemiah. You know, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he did it in a record 52 days. That was a miracle because of all the opposition and the number of people that they didn't have helping to build the walls. But, you know, God was with them and they did a mighty job. But there were lots and lots of obstacles as they were rebuilding those walls. And one particular obstacle in Nehemiah chapter 4, and it says that the people were discouraged, they were at a low point, everything looked hopeless, it just looked like we can never recover from here. And the conversation in the city was negative, and the people had no hope, they'd given in almost. And it says in my Bible in verse 10, we're in over our heads. We can't build this wall, it's hopeless. They were looking to themselves. They'd got the wrong focus. It wasn't their responsibility. It was God's responsibility to see that that wall was built. They were just having to be available and to stop looking at what they didn't see and looking at God. And Nehemiah stood up and he said this, don't be afraid of them. Put your minds on the master. I say that to all of us today. Whatever the devil throws at you, don't you ever be afraid. Andrew said 365 times God said, fear not, fear not, fear not. What's the message? Fear not. He said, don't you ever be afraid. That's the very force that the devil wants from you to work against you. If he can get you afraid and get you on the run, he's won. Well, stand, stand, stand. Amen. Well, this is what Nehemiah said to the people. He said, don't you be afraid of them and get your minds on God. He said, great and awesome is our God. And then fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen. How many of us have got relatives that we need to fight for, that we need to stand for, that we need to witness to, that we need to believe God for? I have many, and I guess all of us have. Children who have been led astray, perhaps once walked with the Lord and no longer do. But you know, God never leaves them. He never forsakes them. And he's faithful to our prayers. But it's a spiritual battle as well as a natural one. And you know, we have a spiritual family here. And God wants us to be responsible for this spiritual family as much as our natural family. They are all very important to God. We are each of us very important to God. And nobody is here by accident. God brought you here. He has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for every one of you. And he's saying to you, stand, be there, be faithful, and I'll be faithful to you. He's an amazing God. But sometimes we have to just keep standing together, praying and encouraging one another. You know, as I look back at this past week especially, I'm thinking, well, God, I know I've made some soup and done a bit of cleaning, but I've spent a lot of time sat down talking. And God said to me, yeah, because there were people who came who needed to be encouraged. And you've done as much as those that were working because you've encouraged a soul to stand, to fight, never give in. What does God say? Never mind what your situation says. Listen to God. He's the important one. He'll tell you what to do. It's what he says that matters, not what you see. And I thank God when you encourage somebody else, you get encouraged yourself. It's a win-win situation with God. And so I encourage us all. Encourage one another. It's good. David set up the message on Messenger, a contact site for us all to look in and just encourage one another. And that's a real blessing to join that group and just to share at what God's been doing. And we keep missing people. When we don't see them for a week, we think, uh-oh, somebody needs a call. Somebody needs a knock on the door. Where are you? What are you doing? Are you okay? You know, be concerned about one another. Look after one. Look out for one another. Oh man, it's not all about me. It's all about the kingdom. Praise God. So yes, what Nehemiah said just encouraged me. And yes, we do need to fight for our families. It's a spiritual battle. And a lot of the times, you know, that they've been put off by something, but there's spiritual forces up there that we need to bring down. And it's the principalities and powers that influence people. It's not so much a hands-on warfare as it was in David's time. Well, we'll go back to David. David and his men burst out in loud wails. They wept and they wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, widow of Nabal of Carmel, had been taken prisoner along with the rest. Wow. You know, at this point, the men had become victims and David had become a victim instead of a victor. That was very unusual for David. He was sat there in the bog of unbelief saying, woe is me, look what's happened to me. And his men were saying the same. You know, when you get into that miserable attitude, what happens? You go down and down and down and down. It's no good. It's no good whinging and moaning and bemoaning your lot. Look up. What's God going to do? What does God say? Listen to what God is saying. And you know, at that point, David needed a wake-up call. He was in doom and gloom. And here was his wake-up call. Suddenly, David was in even worse trouble. There was talk amongst the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning him. Ooh, that was his wake-up call. He knew his men were not to be messed with. You know, David was a quack crack warrior, and his men were just as good, if not better, some of them. When they aimed, they didn't miss. They got the target. He knew this was no idle threat. He needed to do something and do something quick. And praise God, this time he didn't look to his own resources or use his own initiative. He said, I need to talk to God. That was the best thing he could ever have done. He went and he consulted God. And it said, and David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He ordered Abiathar the priest, son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod so I can consult God. And Abiathar brought it to David. David prayed to God, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make the rescue and you will recover everything. Woohoo! Oh, amen. Now that's enough to make you dance. When you've heard God's voice, let me tell you, nobody can talk you out of it. You are so excited. You are pumping fire. Oh, amen. You know you can do it. That's all you need. One word from God and you've got faith to know that you are a victor. Praise his wonderful name. We're not called to be under the circumstances. We're called to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're called to take captivity captive. Amen. And that's what David did. He took captivity captive and he said, no, 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 this is my wake-up call. God, I'm a majority with you. Let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. And he did. You know, when you're in a difficult situation, do what we did this afternoon. Start singing. Sing your head off and punch holes in the spiritual atmosphere. Start to lift your spirit. Start dancing and shouting and shouting the victory. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what you need to do. It's no good feeling sorry for yourself. It will get you nowhere. Not get you nowhere. It saps your energy. It saps sucks all your strength. It drains you. It makes you a target for the devil. Don't do it. Stand against him. The word of God is the mighty. The word of God and the name of Jesus are two huge weapons. If you want to put the devil to flight, hit him with the word of God. Amen. You know, some people won't agree with me here, but hey, when we were due to come out of the EU for, I think it was for 18 months, God gave me Psalm 33, and every day I quoted that psalm, and then it added to it and added to it as time went on. And I knew we were coming out, and I didn't care who said what against that. God had decided, God was going to do it, and it would happen. And praise God, it happened. Amen. The very night before, the media were saying, there's no chance. You'll never get out of the EU. We'll be staying in. And they were rejoicing. They were having a whooping time. But you know, by 10:30 next morning, I plucked up the courage to turn the television on. And when I saw on the strap line, we are out of the EU, I went dancing up the street. I was just woo woo woo. It just fueled me. It lit my blue touch paper, because I had heard God, and it was standing on the word of God. If ever you've got something that's standing against you and won't move, hit it with the word of God. Ask God for a word and he will give you one. And don't let go of that word until you see the situation change. The name of Jesus will bring his presence. The name of Jesus evokes his presence into the situation and puts the devil to flight. Praise and worship, prayer, all powerful weapons that we can launch against the devil when he gets us by the neck. So, let's look back to where David was. David consulted God, and he got his answer: go and recover all. David went, he and his 600 men with him. They arrived at the brook Besor, where some of them dropped out. So David and 400 men then kept up the pursuit. But 200 of them were too tired to revive. Too tired to cross. And so they stayed there. Well, David had just lost 400 of his 600 men. He was left with 200. But that didn't stop him. It didn't faze him. He wasn't trusting in man. He was trusting in God. God said, you go and you'll recover all. He didn't obviously need 600 men. 200 was quite sufficient. Amen. One with God is a majority. You and God are a majority. Don't ever forget that. Amen. Some who went on came across an Egyptian in the field and took him to David. They gave him bread and he ate, and he drank some water. They gave him a piece of fig cake and a couple of raisin muffins. Life began to revive in him. He hadn't eaten or drunk a thing for 3 days and 3 nights. David said to him, who do you belong to and where are you from? He said, I'm an Egyptian slave and of an Amalekite. He said, my master walked off and left me when I got sick. That was 3 days ago. We'd raided the Negev of the Kerithites of Judah and of Caleb, and Ziklag we burned. David asked him, can you take us to the raiders? The Egyptian said, promise me by God that you won't kill me or turn me over to them, and I'll take you straight to the raiders. He led David to them. They were scattered all over the place, eating, drinking, and gorging themselves on all the loot that they'd plundered from Philistia and Judah. The devil was reveling. He was laughing. Oh, when you hear the devil laugh at you, it makes you mad. When he thinks that he's got the upper hand, it just makes, that lights my touch paper too. It was a wake-up call for David. I'm not listening to this. They don't win this. God says, we win. And so that incensed David, and he said, I'm not having them get the mastery over us or over the word of God. And he fought, and he fought, and he fought, and he fought until he overcame. That's a lesson to us. Sometimes things don't happen immediately. Let me encourage you. Fight, stand, 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 stand until you win. Amen? Until it changes. How long do we stand? As long as it takes. Amen? Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Your victory will come. David, with just 200 of his men, pounced on the enemy. He fought them from before sunrise until evening of the next day. Not one of them got away, except for 400 of the younger men who escaped by riding off on camels. David rescued everything the Amalekites had taken. He rescued his two wives. Nothing and no one was missing. Young or old, son or daughter, plunder or whatever, David recovered the whole lot. He herded the sheep and the cattle before them, and they all shouted, David's plunder. He got a great victory there. Then David came, and the 200 men who had been too tired to continue with him and had dropped out at the brook Besor, they came out to welcome David and his band. As he came near, David called out, success! But all the mean-spirited men who'd marched with David, the rabble element, objected. They didn't help in the rescue. They don't get any of the plunder that we recovered. Each man can have his wife and his children, but that's it. Take them and go. And here's a lovely thing. David said to them, families don't do this sort of thing. Amen? We stand together. And the plunder was shared amongst the whole of the body there, the whole of the family, the whole of the warriors. They all shared in that victory, even though some of them were unable to actually get to the final onslaught. And this is another lesson. You know, we're all called to do things to build the kingdom of God. And I thank God for everyone here who has put their hand to the plough and done what their hands find to do. They've not looked at the obstacles. They said, I might not be able to do that, but I can do this. And everything that you can do will count towards achieving your goal. Amen? Achieving the goal, building the kingdom in intake, where God has brought us to and given us a vision. All you who share that vision, we're all there, blessed because of it, doing our own thing. Now, I was really blessed this last couple of weeks. Christine, she can't walk a lot and in the normal sense do a lot of things that we do. But hey, she says, I can make soup. Well, men, did we appreciate that soup? Oh, man, it was delicious. And we were blessed because she did what she could. Amen. And it was a blessing to do it. And I'm no doubt you were blessed because you did it. Because you got out of your comfort zone and you charged and you did something for the kingdom. You know, God wants us to seek him and to serve him. We're all one body. We're all in this together. Amen. So we're passionate for the kingdom of God, and this is what we're doing, building the kingdom here. And God has called us, appointed us, and there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Amen. David and I were singing that the other week. There is a work for you that only you can do. And if you don't know what it is, ask God and he'll tell you. Amen. Praise God. I can't just pick Christy. Everybody, you know, when this happened, when we got all this work to do, we all sort of thought, oh, this is a big challenge. We don't have the young men to do it. And we expected God to send young men in, but he didn't send young men in. He sent young in spirit, most definitely. Yes. But he sent the 70-year-olds and the 65-year-olds and the disabled. And hey, he said, yes, these are the ones who have a passion for the work, and they'll put their hand to the plough and they'll do what they can do, and I'll energize them. I'll give them the spirit and the energy to accomplish what I've called them to do. So praise God. Amen. And in verse 23, David said, families don't do this sort of thing. Oh no, my brothers. As David said, as he broke up the argument, you cannot act this way with what God gave us. God kept us safe. God handed over the raiders who attacked us. Who would ever listen to this kind of talk? The share of the one who stays with the gear is the share of the one who fights. Equal shares, share and share alike. And from that day on, David made that the rule in Israel. Yes, share and share alike. It wasn't you that achieved it. It wasn't me that achieved it. It was God that did it. It was his victory. We give him the praise. We give him the glory. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen. And God says, trust me. You know what do we say in the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we won't forget that. And we'll fight on and give it all we've got until God calls us home. Amen. Because I'm telling you, there's no retirement. Praise God. Amen.